How are you today?
I'm great. I hear you're up for, or you were nominated?
I won a bronze medal in the Reader's Favorite Awards back in November. Those are an international award that was handed out in Miami, but I came in as a finalist in the North American Travel Journalists Awards, and I'll be going to Mexico in May. There's a conference there, and they'll be acknowledging the awards there, but I'm just a finalist in those awards, but it's still nice to be acknowledged, you know, for my book, and I'm entered in another awards contest. That one's the Next Generation Indie Book Awards, and I'll find out in May if I win there. So it's kind of a continual thing. You keep entering awards and hoping you get some acknowledgments for your work.
So for your books, it sounds like it's a pretty cool research project. How do you go about finding out about the chocolates and doing the research for your books?
Well, it's not just sort of chocolates that I'm researching. It's the world of chocolate. So like when I was in Costa Rica last fall, I was a judge at the chocolate festival, and I learned about that via Facebook, and then they invited me to come down and be a judge, and while I was there, I went to the Pure Jungle Spa and was slathered in molten chocolate at their spa. So I'm actually going to have a chapter in the next volume of my book about chocolate diversions, such as chocolate spas and chocolate diamonds, because there is such a thing as chocolate-colored diamonds. And I think that the Gimli jeweler actually sells them. I don't think she carries them in the shop, but I'm sure they're in her catalog. And so it's the world of fine chocolate and artisanal chocolate that I'm researching, and it's going to be three volumes. I published the first one in the fall of 2013, and now I'm researching the second one, which will focus primarily on the Americas and the Caribbean.
Oh, wow. For your books, where are they available at?
Well, Tergesen's does have the first volume in their store in Gimli, and McNally Robinson has been a really great supporter of mine. They carry them in Winnipeg, and as well, I do chocolate dinners there. So we have one coming up on March the 6th. It's a Friday, and then there's one April 4th, and I think those are both sold out, but there's another one September 19th, and there's seats available for that. So that's kind of another fun thing that I do. And then I also have the books available online via my website, and it's also on Amazon. So it's around. I've got it both in print version and in the electronic version.
Great. Tell me a little bit about your chocolate dinners. What exactly is at a chocolate dinner?
Well, those are really cool. People listening to the radio here probably remember Chef Karen Nielsen, who used to run the Fat Cat Bistro. Well, she now works at Prairie Ink Bistro at the McNally Robinson on Grant Avenue in Winnipeg. She's the head chef there. So she develops a menu. It's usually three or four courses, and it's based around chocolate, but not necessarily sweet. Like the main course will usually be the savory side of chocolate. So we've had, you know, short ribs done in a really intense cocoa-based gravy. We've had chicken mole, which the mole sauce was invented in Mexico, and it's got chili peppers blended with cocoa, and so you get that really kind of a hot flavor with the chicken, and that was delicious. And she's done also steak, you know, done with a intense chocolate sauce, and then we usually start out with either a soup or salad, depending on the season. And then for the starter course, she had scallops that were going to be drizzled in a cocoa-based sauce, and then, of course, some kind of chocolate decadent dessert to wrap things up. So what happens is I do a chocolate talk in between courses. So it runs from 6 to 9 p.m., and I do an introductory talk at the beginning, and then we have one course and stop, and then I'll talk in between courses. And then Chef Karen often drops in around dessert time and says hello to the people and what inspires her to work with chocolate and how versatile it is in creating different kinds of flavors. And I kind of got inspired for that because when I was in St. Lucia, I stayed at a resort where everything on the menu was cocoa-based in some way, and you might think that that would become tiresome, but it wasn't. It was like they managed to create all kinds of really amazing recipes using cocoa as the base. So I think that's kind of becoming more of a trend now that people know that chocolate is a power food and that it's actually good for them. As long as you're eating pure dark chocolate or cocoa, which has no additives to it, you're actually eating the most healthy food on the planet.
In your travels and doing the research and things like that, what are some of the most unique chocolate items that you've come across or foods or items that, in your travels?
Well, you know, it's really cool because chocolate is used in so many ways nowadays. It's not necessarily just going into your mouth, but I was in Paris at a fashion show where they actually put fresh chocolates on the dresses. It was part of the Salon du Chocolat, so that's kind of a neat thing that people can witness. And chocolate art, you know, you can go in different parts of the world. Again, I saw this in Paris, but I've also seen it in the shop of Thomas Haas in Vancouver, where he's created sculptures out of chocolate. And then some chocolate makers are talented enough that they take that artistic talent and put it into the chocolates. I think the most stunning architecturally designed chocolates I've ever had are from Soma Chocolate Maker in Toronto. The fellow that makes them is actually a former architect, so he's really got a knowledge for, you know, creating things of unique shapes and spaces. And so they have like a Douglas fir sap truffle, which is made with the sap from Douglas fir trees, and they blend it in with pure cocoa, and believe it or not, it's really delicious. And even the Constance Pop Chocolatier here in Manitoba, she's in Winnipeg at 180 Provence, she makes chocolate with birch syrup, and she also does the Manitobar, which is made with Manitoba hemp and Manitoba maple syrup and other things. And she also makes a Manitoba beet truffle, which is delicious. It's got pureed beets encased in dark chocolate. So, you know, sometimes the most unsuspecting ingredients can be paired with chocolate, and you end up with a really unique taste.
Well, I thank you so much for your time. That's really enlightened us and gave us something sweet to think about.
Well, thank you. And one other thing I just want to mention, Adam, is that if people really are interested in chocolate and they love it, in addition to coming to the chocolate dinners at McNally's or buying my book, I'm also partnering now with CAA Travel, and we are doing a chocolate tour to the Hawaiian Islands in October. So for anybody listening that loves fine chocolate or is interested in visiting cocoa plantations, meeting with people who actually make the chocolate from the beans, it'll be the second half of October that we're going to be doing this trip, and CAA Travel is coordinating, and I'll be the tour guide. So I hope that some folks from the Interlake might think about coming out with us.
That definitely sounds like a fun trip, and I'm sure we'll get some of you from the Interlake coming out and enjoying some of that knowledge, but also probably some good taste testing, too.
Oh, you're darn right. The Hawaiian chocolate is actually among the finest in the world, so I've been there last year, and I'm going back again because I'm just blown away by the flavor. So it is definitely worth investigating.
Well, thank you so much, Doreen.
Thank you, Adam. And I just want folks to know, in case you didn't mention, that I live in Matlock, so I'm local, and I really try to promote Manitoba stuff, but you sometimes have to travel abroad in order to find the really unique stuff. So
exactly.
Thanks again for calling.
All right. You're welcome.